Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Junior Chris Elogwin and Chris, 97.3 Fan here at Petco Park. Padres preparing to take on the Mets in the second game of this three-game set. Yesterday, the Padres would win 4-0 in a pitcher's duel. Joining us on the SECU Fan Hotline is Mets bench coach Jim Riggleman, also coached my father. Jim, how you doing today?
Very good, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. I guess we'll start with the pitcher's duel that we had yesterday. DeGrom pitched as DeGrom always does, made a couple mistakes. The Padres made him pay for it. The young Chris Paddock came out and really tried to throw his best game, and then I think it was his best game statistically. What did you see from your sights over there?
Well, we were very impressed, I tell you that. I mean, he really threw the ball well. You know, really good changeup, got a great arm, and aggressive. You know, just a great pitching performance by a really good young pitcher. And, you know, from our side, Jacob DeGrom threw a very nice ball game. You know, kept the pitch count down, was able to go deep in the game, and gave us a chance to win the ball game. But Renfroe kind of got one. You know, Renfroe has such great power, but didn't really get into it real good, but he got enough of it to get it out of the ballpark, and runs were at a premium, so that was a huge hit on their part.
Jim, I was really impressed with Pete Alonso, and I have been impressed with Pete Alonso, obviously the first month of the season, and the kind of success that he's had, and comes in here, and I don't know, look, the media tries to stir some things up once in a while, and you know, Pete Alonso was he challenged by Chris Paddock or not? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, last night Chris Paddock got him, and after the game, I like what Pete Alonso said. He said, hey, he got me tonight, but it's a long season. I'll have my chances at him. Tell us a little bit about this guy, this young man, and what he's meant to your ball club, because he's really, he deserved that Rookie of the Month award.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well, you know, you summed up last night perfectly. You know, good competitive juices flowing. You know, Paddock had it all going, and he had made some comments, but that, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And Pete, you know, he just didn't quite catch up last night, but Pete has meant so much to our ball club this first 5 or 6 weeks, leading our club and driving in runs and home runs, of course, and playing a very nice first base. Came to spring training trying to win a job. You know, he wasn't a lock to be on the team, but really earned it, and it speaks to how hard he's worked the last few years. You know, when a guy does what Pete's done, you know, you can think, well, you know, maybe it's not for real. But the thing that tells me it is for real is the year he had in AAA. 37 home runs in a minor league season is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just don't see that. So we feel like we got a guy here that can settle in here and lock down first base for a while for us.
New York Mets bench coach Jim Riggleman joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Jim, you guys played 18 innings the other night. Tell us a little bit about how many days it takes to catch back up to a normal rotation, not only on your starting rotation, but in your bullpen. How long does it take to actually get back to normal?
Yeah, you know what, Tony? I'm having a little bit trouble hearing you. I'm not sure if it's my phone or
I'm
not.
I'm sorry.
I'm
you guys
having a little bit of time hearing.
Can you hear me now, Jim? A little bit better?
Yeah, Jim? Hello, Tony.
Can you hear me a little bit better?
I kind of hear him, and I kind of don't. Well, maybe you can get reconnected. What?
Yeah,
Jim, you're here?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there he is.
What I asked is, you guys played 18 innings on Saturday. How long does it take for things to return to normal in regards to your bullpen and your rotation?
Well, that's a great question, and it does take a while. The thing that makes it a little bit more workable in today's world is, unlike years past, we kind of clubs make sure you have some guys on your roster who can go up and down. You know, you have guys with options left, and the team is constructed that way. So we had a couple guys that had to throw a lot, and they did a great job for us. Unfortunately, they weren't going to be able to be used for the next couple days, so they were sent out, and we brought up a couple fresher arms. Had we not had guys with options left, we wouldn't have been able to do that. It would have been something that we would not have been able to get through. We, you know, 18 innings, we're going to have a lot of guys who are not available to pitch the next day or two.
Jim Riggleman is with us, SDCCU Fan Hotline. He's at Petco Park. We're at Petco Park, but he's elsewhere at Petco Park. So hopefully our connection's staying alive here. Jim, manager here in San Diego, obviously in Chicago, Seattle, Washington, Cincinnati. First time coaching, managing, and working in New York City. I guess you could maybe speak to it as well as anybody, the comparison, what it's like to be part of the Big Apple scene.
Yeah, you know what? I've enjoyed it very much. I love being at the ballpark. It's a great stadium, great group of guys, coaching staff, Mickey Callaway, the manager. The, you know, getting to and from is the issue in New York, you know, traffic-wise and all. But, you know, it, once you're there, it's great. It's amazing media, though. You know, it's there's so many people that Mickey Callaway's dealing with on a daily basis, way more than I ever had to deal with anywhere I'd been.
Jim, you guys got Noah Syndergaard going today for you guys. He coming off a one-man performance in his last start. What have you seen from this year? Because he's kind of trying to bounce back from kind of a rough year last year.
Yeah, you know, he was a little bit hit or miss for a couple starts, like a couple of our guys were coming out of the gate, but got it together here the last three or four starts has been outstanding. And that performance the other day where you know, he wins 1-0, complete game, shutout, home run. You know, you just don't see the combination of all those things. Nobody hardly has a complete game anymore. And here's a one, complete game shutout. And it was an amazing performance.
Jim, we really appreciate the time. Unfortunately, we didn't get the best connection this time. We'll come down and say hello after the show. But thanks so much for being with
us.
We appreciate you joining us last year.
Thanks, Jim.
When you're in Cincinnati, and it's always
fun
catching up with you. Thank you, sir.
I look forward to doing it again. Thanks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time. Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Now you're talking.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scraby.
Yes?
One thing you do very well in this segment is give the rules.
Thank you. Well, the rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets that same question right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or if you're already on the third question, you may win. I am looking at these questions. I have no idea what Tony's talking about, but I can't wait to find out.
Here we go. Let's get to the first caller and the first contestant, Tim in Alpine. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, fellas.
Tim is a good contestant, man. He's tough.
Let's get to it. Here we go. What is the 500 part of the Indianapolis 500?
Can you repeat the question?
What is the 500 part of the Indianapolis 500?
500 miles?
That is correct.
That's correct.
That is the question that I thought was going to give because of the way you – what is the 500 part of the 500 in it? That just sounds like a weird way to ask that question.
It's one of the greatest events all year.
I have just a side question for Tim. This is not part of the game, but I want to see if Tim knows. How many laps is 500 miles in the Indy 500? Do you know, Tim?
I want to say it's 200 miles.
He's right. 200 laps.
200 laps, right?
The track
200
is
laps. I'm sorry. Yeah, 200. 2.5 mile track, 200 laps.
That's yes. right. You got yeah. it, Tim.
Very all nice.
Right.
All right, let's get to question number two. Which American tennis player won the longest tennis match ever played at 11 hours and 5 minutes?
I want to see Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick is incorrect.
Sorry, Tim. Tim is a good contestant, but he's not going to make it today. John Isner was the winner of that one.
John Isner
Cold-blooded.
Is correct.
Cold-blooded
Tim,
is right.
Thank it you was, for playing, brother.
I forgot what the score was. 80 to 78.
It was like over 2 days. Wasn't
it was 80
it
to 78.
Days. 80 yep. to 78 in the fifth set. Wimbledon is going to change the rules on that finally. And start having a tiebreaker in the fifth set if they get up to a certain score. So that will never happen again. That will stay as the longest match forever and ever and ever because it'll never, they'll never allow that to happen again.
Contestant number two, Mark in El Cajon. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, guys. How we doing?
We're doing fantastic. Let's get to question number
one. Let's
go,
Mark.
Where did James Harden play college basketball?
Ooh. That's a fairly good
basketball is definitely not my thing. I'm gonna guess. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
You know, that's not really that well known. Where he
it's
went
not.
To college because his team never really made like a Sweet 16 or
and
a Final
Four. And he was a completely different player.
And he wasn't the nation's leading scorer.
He
anything.
Had no beard.
But the thing
I remember,
remember
now.
Yeah, the Aztecs yep. played him. And that's why I remember yep. it was Arizona State.
Arizona State. Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed it was. Thanks for competing.
But if the Aztecs hadn't have played against him, I don't think I would have known that. Because it was, it's not a very popular thing to know where James Harden went from.
I only knew I follow a lot of high school Los Angeles basketball and I that's the only reason why I knew he went.
I think
Arizona
his number
State.
Is retired now.
Number 13.
Yeah.
That is correct.
It probably wouldn't have been retired based on his college career.
No, I don't think
it
so.
It wasn't.
But now it's retired.
All right, Michael and Lemon Grove, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Hey Michael.
Happy Tuesday, guys.
Let's get to this first question. How many titles has Phil Jackson won as an NBA head coach?
I'm going to say 8.
8 is incorrect.
I wish he had guessed that because I'm down between 9 and 10. Yeah. I know he has 3 three-peats. He had 2 three-peats with the Bulls and 1 three-peat with the Lakers. The question is, did he have any other championships somewhere else with the Lakers? He has 6 with the Bulls. Just can't remember the Lakers sneak another one with him because he left and came back.
We're going to need an answer, Chris. Yeah.
I know. I'm not done looking it up yet.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to be mad is what I'm going to be when if I get it wrong. Phil Jackson has 10.
10 is incorrect.
Damn it!
I hope I'm right.
The answer is 11.
11. Yeah.
I hope I'm right.
You move on to the next one.
Close to this. You made it.
All right, Michael, let's get to question number 2.
11. It's crazy.
This is a good one right here. What pitcher has started the most games in baseball history?
Woo.
Gonna go Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, like, that is a good guess, but it's incorrect. Chris for the steal.
I think because he's got like 511 wins and about 300 and some odd losses, I'm gonna go with Cy Young.
That is correct.
Sorry,
Michael. Thanks
I
for repeating.
Bad.
Baseball pitching questions are either Nolan Ryan or Cy Young.
That's not totally true, but Cy Young, he must have been a rubber arm. He must have pitched every game.
He did.
Because he's got 5-11 wins and like 300-some-odd losses.
And throwing pillows up there, you can throw a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true.
Joey in Lakeside. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
He's got a shot, Joey.
Is it Tuesday?
It is.
It's only Tuesday.
All right, here we go. Question number one.
Let's go, Joey.
Where did the Dodgers play before they moved to Los Angeles?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Where Brooklyn at?
What was...
That's correct.
And what was their nickname before the Dodgers? Scraby? Oh, come on.
The Robins.
The Brooklyn Robins.
Sorry.
You're supposed to know that for the rest of your life.
I was like, trick question.
You're all right. Joey, question number two. Who was the last player to win the Triple Crown in baseball?
Miguel Cabrera.
Good
Very
job.
Nice.
Good job. Wow. Not an easy question at all.
Not
Very
at
well
all.
Done.
All right.
Come
Let's
on,
get to
Craig.
Question number three for the win and the Padres and Pirate tickets. Here we go.
Joey.
James Harden was drafted by the Thunder third overall in the 2009 NBA draft. Name of the two players drafted before him.
One of the two. I didn't put one.
Oh, sorry. Just name one of the two that was drafted before him.
Oh, man. I don't know. Derrick Rose? I don't know.
Derrick Rose is incorrect.
I think Derrick Rose was... Derrick Rose is close. I think Derrick
Rose
was
way before. He was way before that.
I am not... Very good
at the draft.
James, come on. Pretty good shape
Thank
here.
God.
Come on, Scrape. Let's go,
James. James Harden was what? Third. 2009.
Yeah.
Nine. Mm-hmm. 2000. I can't believe he's been in the league 10 years. And that's crazy. I'll say Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is incorrect.
Nice.
Remember, Kevin Durant was on the team that he was drafted to already. The answer.
So I got tickets.
First of all, congratulations,
yes, Joey.
You are a winner.
Way to go, Joey.
Joey's fired up. I like that.
The correct answers could have been.
Can I ask Scraby a quick question?
Scraby, he wants to ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Hey, Scraby, who was the Milwaukee Brewers rookie that ruined the Padres' chances for a playoff shot? And what year was it, Chris or Tony? Can you guys help me out?
Oh, 2009.
I'm believing it's Tony Gwynn Jr.
Because
it was off of Trevor Hoffman, right?
Joey, did you really have to bring that up, man?
Yeah. Joey, you just got everybody
I really
mood.
Did. I really did.
No, that was a good one, Joey.
You just turned the press box into an angry mob here, Joey.
The answer to that question, by the way.
Yeah, what was the – who were the first two?
Blake Griffin
and
Haseem Thabeet.
I thought –
Who?
Haseem Thabeet?
I think it was Thabeet.
Thabeet,
really?
That's
how he called it, yes.
Man, there was
he went to Georgetown.
There was no way in the world I could have come up
Congratulations.
With Blake Griffin at least.
Congratulations, Joey.
Yeah, way to go, Joey. Enjoy the game.
Padres
and Pirates. The game is on May the 18th, and everybody who goes to that game on May the 18th, along with Joey, is going to get a free Padre giveaway, right? Scraby, isn't it a hoodie night?
I believe so.
Oh, is that the hoodie that
yeah,
I was
all
modeling?
Fans in attendance will receive a Padres hoodie presented by Toyota. And if you come to the ballpark today or tomorrow, make sure you pay attention to the big board because you'll see Tony Gwynn Jr. wearing this hoodie.
Yes, he had to model the hoodie.
We saw you like three times after you left yesterday, and I kept pointing every single time.
Like you've never seen me before?
No, oh, no, that's the guy! Tony, tell me it's on the scoreboard.
There's something special about being up on that scoreboard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back at you shortly after 4:30. Gwen and Chris Ellum, Tony Gwynn Jr., Petco Park, Padres, New York Metropolitans. Game two of a three-game series coming up. I want to remind you, Gwen and Chris, brought to you by our great friends at Sonic. Introducing Red Bull Slushies. See, I try to do it, but I can't pull it off like you. And try this on this one. King's Hawaiian Sandwiches.
Yowzers.
Try the Limeade Red Bull Slush or King's Hawaiian Crispy Chicken Club. Visit one of Sonic's 8 locations or download the Sonic app today. All right, lots going on in the world of sports. That's why we invented the Big Five.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is now brought to you by our friends at EcoWater Treatment Systems for anywhere you drink water. Stay hydrated, Scraby.
Oh, I've been drinking lots of water today.
Attaboy.
In preparation for this Big Five. Let's get to it, Thomas.
Number five.
All right, you guys know this very well, but star pitcher Dallas Keuchel is still without a job almost a quarter of the way into this Major League season, but he did speak with Yahoo Sports yesterday and said, quote, "If you would have asked me on the first day of free agency, I would have said no way I'd be here on May 6th. And that's end quote, and he's not going to budge on how much he thinks he's worth, because he went on to say, "That's not me being greedy, that's just my compensation in the market from what the analytical data is telling me. I didn't come up with this, the front offices came up with this, so now they're trying to tell me I'm less than what the analytical data is saying. How is that possible?" End quote. So, Tony, do you agree with Dallas Keuchel continuing to sit out?
Oh, that's the question. Do I agree with him continuing to sit out? Yes. This is my issue with analytics, is that it's objective, and it can, depending on who's giving the analytics, they could tweak it to fit their narrative as much as they want. And that is why it's not that I despise it, because as I said, it's good in certain areas, but it's not the entire pie as it seems as though baseball is making it, or at least some teams are making it. So I agree with him, man. You listen, if you're Dallas Keuchel, you've worked your butt off to get to this point. Pitched in a couple World Series. You won a Cy Young. You want to be compensated like that. And quite frankly, he should be compensated like that. Now, it's not my money, unfortunately, for him. So, you know, teams might feel a different way about it. But I think he has a point. I think he also didn't mention, though, that there's some tear that goes on there, too. And I think that's what teams are hesitant to give him the money over, because it's not as though they didn't see the Cy Young. It's not as though they didn't see him pitch in 2 World Series. So what else could it be? It's got to be their fear that they give him this money and it doesn't work out. But guess what? That is the same dice roll you take with any other free agency.
Is there a prorated? Is there a prorated contract for him now? Like, if he joins half the year, because I believe the number I saw was around $17.5 million for 1 year. So is there, if he signs halfway through, does he get half that?
I don't know how that part works.
I think he hopes he does.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think? Grade.
Well, I think the big number that everybody's seen with Dallas Keuchel is 31. And I believe that's his age.
Yeah.
I agree with him, and I don't agree with these guys that give you the analytics thing, because here's the deal. As Tony said, they use it when it's beneficial to their side, but when it's beneficial to Dallas Keuchel's side, all of a sudden, the analytics don't add up quite right.
Right.
So you can't have it both ways, even though they're taking it both ways. And I like the fact that he's holding out. And I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of players out there who may not understand it right now. But I think the fact that Dallas Keuchel is holding out is going to help a lot of players down the road. Because if he gave in, then a lot of other players in the next 4 or 5 years would probably have to give in,
yeah,
too. So if you are coming up for free agency in the next 3 or 4 years and you're a younger player, you should be happy Dallas Keuchel is taking the stance he's taken.
He could be setting something up that nobody foresaw coming, where guys are willing to sit out if they don't get what they deserve in free agency.
There's no reason to have to play. I mean, he's already made a ton of money. This isn't, quote, about the money. What it's really about is the fact that he's standing next to a guy that he's better than, And so he wants to make more money than that guy. And anybody in any profession would want the same thing.
Exactly.
Could he be a martyr of some sorts for players going forward?
I hope not, because a martyr would indicate that
he'll never play.
He never gets to play again, and everybody else benefits from it. I hope that's not the case. He's too young to be. I guess he's not too young, because Colin Kaepernick was younger than that, I guess.
That was a whole different thing.
Kimbrell is in the same boat, though. Yeah. I mean, both of these guys are really taking a stand here. And we don't. Maybe the players don't see it now. Maybe they do see it. But I think this is going to, as Chris, that was a great point, by the way, that
Brilliant.
This could end up being a kind of a feather in the players' cap as they get ready to go into these next free agents.
You guys want to play analytics? Then pay us what your analytics say that we should be paid.
Yeah.
Simple.
Right. Or come up with a universal analytic where everybody is all looking at the same thing. Because that's where the numbers used to be, right? Mm-hmm. And we all got to look at the same average, same numbers. We all got to look at the same thing. Now when analytics came in, for a while there, the folks who didn't know about it were on the outside looking in like, what is that? Like looking over the shoulder like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But now everybody is kind of caught up. We're going to have to make a change at some point. We'll see.
All right, Thomas.
Number 4.
We got a lot of NFL today because Odell Beckham Jr. is in a new city now and loving what he sees with his new team, the Browns. He did an interview with GQ Magazine last night at the Met Gala, and he said, quote, "I plan on being there for the next 5 years and trying to bring as many championships there as possible, turning the Browns into the new Patriots." He was also asked about his new quarterback, Baker Mayfield, and said, quote, "I would say he's next, but I feel like he's now. He's Brett Favre. He's going to be a Hall of Famer," end quote. Chris, do you think Odell is putting unnecessary pressure on his team?
No, he's certainly not putting unnecessary pressure on his team. And if they feel that he is, then they're in the wrong business. He's saying the things that he should say coming to a new team, which is, I expect to win.
I believe
I'm going to bring as many championships as I can. I believe. What's he supposed to say about his quarterback? No, I don't think he's very good.
Well, he compared him to.
I wish I had Eli back.
I'm just saying, I just don't think he's putting pressure on the Cleveland Browns. I mean, and if Baker Mayfield can't handle the fact that his receiver says he's going to be a great quarterback, then Baker Mayfield probably is never going to be a great quarterback.
I understand the Brett Favre comparison by the way that they play, but Brett Favre also has thrown the most interceptions in NFL history, so that's kind of...
That's a product of the fact that he threw so many passes.
Exactly.
That's like saying Babe Ruth struck out as much as anybody. Still, he's one of the greatest players I've ever...
Somebody just broke that like a couple years ago.
Aaron Judge, I believe.
No.
What's
talking
that?
About
strikeout?
Has the most strikeouts...
Of all time.
They retired, I think, but it was a really good player.
Yeah.
I can't remember who we were talking about.
I'll figure it out. But what do you think about this, Odell? Is he putting unnecessary pressure on his team?
No, I don't think so. I think, as Chris said, this is exactly how he should approach it. I mean, Baker Mayfield was already putting enough pressure on himself anyway by the things he was saying and doing on the field. So this is going to be nothing. I am very interested, though, to see both of those two wide receivers that he has on his team. And trying to keep everybody happy. This will be a mission in itself.
Whoever the tight end is for the Cleveland Browns, good luck. Because they're not going to get the ball to you very often.
Yeah,
Landry and Beckham are going to be begging for it.
What
endlessly.
Is their tight end's name? I had him.
Njoku. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
good.
He's really good.
I was going to say Kajuice, but he didn't make the team.
Kajuice didn't make it. He just starred in the show.
Yeah, he was a star.
I was pulling
for
him, though.
Me too. Back to the strikeout thing. It says that Reggie Jackson has the most strikeouts.
Still has the record.
Yeah, okay. Jim Tomey, Adam Dunn, Sammy Sosa, A-Rod, blah, blah, blah.
But Reggie Jackson's a Hall of Famer despite having more strikeouts than anybody, so that goes with your Brett Favre thing.
And over to number three. Jets running back Le'Veon Bell is sticking with his workout plan, even with his new team. He showed up to the first week of voluntary workouts, but has not showed up to the rest. Bell said skipping workout, quotes, works for me to be the best player I can be. He then posted on Twitter, "When it's time to play football, I gotta stick to the formula that I know works for me to be the best player I can be. I'm just trying to win football games. I want a ring. I want to desperately show everyone what I can really do. I'll take the heat right now. Everybody will forget about that once January comes around." Tony, should he face so much criticism for not showing up to voluntary workouts?
I mean, no, it's voluntary, A. So,
that's what his coach said, too.
So, no, you shouldn't take any criticism. And listen, the proof's in the pudding. He's done this, what, I think that over the last 4 years, he's been kind of not going to voluntary camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is constantly, other than last year when he didn't play the whole year, is one of the best, if not the best, running back in the game. So, especially in a game of football where you're taking a beating like that, why risk unnecessary contact that you don't need when they already are telling you, hey, man, once you turn 30, you're useless to us in the NFL as a running back. I would be doing the same thing. I have no problems with this, and I think it sounds like the Jets don't have a problem with it either.
No, they don't, because Adam Gase said they're voluntary, which is exactly what you say. Chris, what do you think? Do you think you should face criticism for not showing up?
Well, yes, just because he's in New York. And
he's
whatever you do in New York, you get to face criticism for whatever you do. But no,
you can tie your shoe wrong, and they're all over you.
They're going to rip you. But I think he's doing the right thing, and I totally don't understand why coaches even have voluntary workouts. Have workouts that you either have to attend or don't have to attend, and that's it. Because if you make it voluntary, you leave the door open for this kind of stuff to happen. The famous words of Edgerrin James on his boat in Biscayne Bay when he was holding out from an Indianapolis Colts voluntary workout. I didn't learn much at the University of Miami, but I did learn what the word voluntary means, and I don't have to be there.
That's a great quote by Edge.
What is the voluntary thing? I don't get it.
That's what I'm saying. But if you have it, you leave yourself open to this kind of stuff happening.
For a long time, it was voluntary / mandatory.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And if you didn't show up, you got berated for it. I mean, Coughlin must have forgot about it a couple weeks ago because he decided to go in on
Jalen Ramsey.
And the fact that he got scolded not only from the NFLPA and the NFL.
And Jalen's agent. And Jalen.
He caught flack that he didn't even need to have if he would have just followed the rules. It's voluntary, Coughlin. It's voluntary.
It's voluntary. All right.
Number two.
We talked about it
yesterday. Let's put it this way. You tell Tony and I we got a voluntary show tomorrow.
This is a great point.
You're going to be sitting here by yourself.
I'm going to just tell you that right now. There's one thing I've learned.
We love what we do, Scraby, but
I know.
If you make it voluntary.
I know. And there's one thing I've learned as a producer. It's just blatantly lie to you guys about things, so you'll do it.
That's a day. That's a strategy.
It's worked out.
It is a strategy. And then you guys ask me, who said that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, if we dig a little deeper, though, you better have some backup.
I don't have any backup for it. I come up with the lie on the top of my head. Number two, we talked about it yesterday, but Kawhi Leonard is making history in these NBA playoffs, and a lot of people have thought Kawhi would not return to the Raptors and head back home to sign with one of the LA teams. Well, now with the playoff success, there are reports that Toronto could be the team that is going to keep Kawhi Leonard and re-sign him. On Monday's episode of the Woj Pod, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, which I know Chris subscribes to every single day. The Woj Pod. I don't know how he found time to do all this stuff. But he reported this, and he said, quote, I do think they've made progress with him. They put themselves in it. And when Kawhi showed up there, I'm not sure how he imagined any future in Toronto. I do think it's a serious consideration now, end quote. Chris, do you think the Raptors is the best spot for Kawhi Leonard?
I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't think it is. I mean, I think he can be a whole lot more popular and a whole lot more successful and have a whole lot larger legacy if he goes and plays back in Los Angeles and would help lead the Lakers to a championship or goes into New York and turns that franchise around or goes to Chicago. However, having said that, I don't think Kawhi Leonard cares about any of all of that stuff. So for Kawhi Leonard, Toronto very well might be the best place to be.
The North.
But you asked me, do I think it's the best
do
for
you,
him?
Yes.
So I think, no, he could probably be bigger. But he doesn't necessarily care about that, and I respect him for that. So I kind of hope he leads Toronto, you know, either to or close to the championship and then stays there and keeps on playing great basketball. But it's mostly overlooked when you do it in Toronto. Let's just face it. I mean, you're in an outpost compared to the rest of the NBA.
Outpost is a good word.
He would have to win a title there in order for it to change that narrative.
Yeah.
I agree with Chris on this. Personally, do I think it's best for him? No. Obviously, Los Angeles, New York are bigger markets. You can become the type of megastar that you would want to. But as Chris said, that doesn't seem to be Kawhi's first thought, right? I will say that if he does stay in Toronto, he's going to spend a lot less time at that nice house he just bought down here in La Jolla. So I will say that. But
Tony's still trying to talk him back to L.A.
But that being said, though, it doesn't seem like he's interested in that. And I think Toronto is actually a better fit for what it seems like he's interested in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he likes to just go under the radar and just play ball. Like, he doesn't have to do with none of the stuff KD deals with, none of the stuff Russell deals with, none of the stuff any of the superstars deals with. Have we had to, has he had to even answer any questions about free agency this year like KD has?
No.
Like Kawhi or like Kyrie has. Like, those guys were asked that question every single day. I haven't seen one interview of Kawhi answering that question.
Did they even show the Toronto playoff games on television?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're so far out of the loop that you don't even know Toronto's still playing.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, you have.
I know. The North. Do you think that Kyle Lowry is still crying over DeMar DeRozan being gone? Because I've seen
comments. Start crying about his playoff performance this series.
Do you remember when he, at the beginning of the year, when he had that video and he was saying that he missed him and he was standing in the hallway just like sulking? It's been a weird year for Kyle Lowry.
Well, if he starts playing bad or continues to play poorly, because I think he's been playing less than his best, they're not going to get through this series. I mean, this thing's still up for grabs with Philadelphia.
All right.
Number one.
Steve Kerr is always going to give you his opinion, and yesterday he was asked about the length of the NBA regular season. He thinks that the NBA should shorten the season to 75 regular season games because, quote, there's not going to be a drastic cut, obviously, because of revenue, but if there were a way to get to 75, I'd be a big proponent. I understand that would mean less revenue, salaries would come down a little bit, but the quality of play would be better, and the players would be more rested, and maybe there would be fewer injuries, end quote. So, Tony, do you think the NBA should shorten its season? Regular season. Because the playoffs are like nine months anyway.
This is a tough one for me, man.
You love your 82.
The old guy in me wants to stay traditional, right? Because we've been comparing players and skills and numbers. You change it to 75, you take away any type of comparisons we have, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't seem like 82 to 75, but that's a lot. That's seven games right there.
It's almost 2 weeks.
You could put up we seen what James Harden did in a seven game span. Right?
Seven games is 200 points.
Right, at least for some guys. So, that is. You know, at the end of the day, I think it might be better for the players. You know, with all the money they're making now, they can take care of their bodies better than any point in the history of sports.
Not only that, they sit out half the games anyway.
Now, if that is the case, if 75 is the number,
then you can't sit.
You can't be sitting. There needs to be a league rule unless you are hurt.
I don't know how you're going to.
What is it? Load management.
That's 2019's version of resting.
Yeah, of sitting out your best players.
But yeah, ultimately, 75 might be a good number.
Chris, what do you think about shortening the NBA regular season?
I don't have a problem with it, and I don't think anybody would even notice that the season was shorter or longer.
That's a good point.
But
I
think they're better off sticking with 82. And if you really feel like they're playing too much, just extend the season by a week. And then
get some more off days in there.
Get some more off days in there. I think you could have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
On this one, the NBA, you guys will never remember this, but the NBA used to run from about December to March. That was pretty much the whole season. It was just a fill-in between football and baseball. Now basketball has taken over the world, and it goes until the end of June or July. So what's the big deal about adding another week to the season?
The playoffs are insanely long for the NBA.
Yeah.
Insanely long.
Chris had that beef the other day with the Houston Golden State game.
Yeah.
They played on, a Tuesday, and
then
play again Saturday. Right.
And then they won't play another game till another Saturday.
Just get the season over with, people.
No, they gotta drain as much money out of this thing as possible.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
That's why they'll never do what Steve Kerr wants them to do.
Well, that too. And then the players have to agree that we're not going to get that seven games worth of money, which doesn't seem like a lot, but then when
salaries
you find out
would be lower.
They would be a little bit lower.
Good Big Five, guys.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five brought to you by EcoWater Treatment Systems. For anywhere you drink water, your water perfected. Stay hydrated, San Diego. Well, that was a very lively Big Five. Good stuff. Good for good jumping off point, I think, for you, Tony.
Was that? I mean, that was like the cleanest Big Five. I think
they keep getting
oh, Scraby?
Yes.
Yeah, we should do that one again because they didn't have any screw ups at all.
You know, it's something about what are we looking out over Petco Park?
That puts you at rest.
What are we going to use for promotional material if you keep doing things cleanly?
Don't worry.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris back at Petco Park. Padres and Mets. Tony's off getting ready for a TV assignment tonight. Chris Ello here going to carry you the rest of the way. And Bill Sinner dropping by from the Padres and Union Tribune, former great sports writer. Bill, I don't know that we're if we're outstepping our bounds here, but there seems to be perhaps a developing story happening in front of our eyes down here on the field. Fernando Tatis Jr. is slamming batting practice pitches up into the Western Metal Supply Company building like he's been doing it his whole life. I've heard no announcement. I don't know that the Padres plan on making any announcement, but I do know that his 10-day injured list time is up here in a couple of days.
I don't, you know, it's going to be very interesting because there's going to be a faction that says he needs to go out on a rehab assignment. He's 20. He needs at-bats in a game. You know, there's part of me that says no, that if he's on the field, and even if he has a couple 0-for-4s the first couple days, you're going to be better off with him at short and Machado at third than you are with Ty France or Greg Garcia. I mean, I like them, but they are not the talent that this guy is. I mean, just watching him during batting practice, he excites you just taking batting practice.
He is crushing balls down there.
Right.
And it just does lead us to believe that hopefully he will be back soon. And if nothing else, sooner rather than later, because I think when you saw that injury and you hear hamstring, you never can tell. That can be a month or two sometimes for a guy, and maybe it still will be. I don't know. But just looking at him, he looks like he's pretty close.
Well, for a 38-year-old guy, it'd probably be a month or two.
or a guy like our age,
right. It's
a lifetime.
It's amazing how 20-year-old athletes seem to have their own recovery pace.
That's
and,
right.
Of course, what he's doing with the bat right now is not the question. It's what he can do when he jogs, how he feels, has he run full speed yet? I don't think so.
Right.
So it all comes in stages, but it looks like the bat's alive.
My goodness, certainly, is it ever.
Yeah, if he can run and he can play shortstop and you don't have a question about that, I'd really be sort of fuzzy on whether he needs a rehab assignment. Now, if the hamstring is still a little bit tight and he's not quite sure how hard he can run, then you send him out for a couple days to see just what kind of physical shape he's in.
He just looks like he wants to play so bad. He wanted to play the minute after he got injured.
Right.
So they're going to have to watch him. Bill Sinner joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline from Petco Park. What was your take on Chris Paddock's bravado heading into the game last night and the way everything played out against the Mets?
I love it.
You loved it?
I absolutely loved it. Okay. I've been waiting for the Padres to have a pitcher with a gunslinger-type attitude ever since Jake Peavy. I love that. I love pitchers that say, this is my game. You're not going to take it from me. And another, Randy Jones used to get upset if the manager came to the top step of the dugout to come get him. He would actually signal him, go away. I mean, you were in you saw it.
Yeah,
and get out of here. This is my game. I want somebody like Paddock. Now, that said, you still have to protect him. I don't know what the innings number is they have for him, but the way he's going, it's going to run out sometime after the All-Star break. And then the question is going to be, do you risk it and let him throw more, or do you shut him down? It could be a Strasburg-type question
at
the end of the season.
I know. It's just something that's kind of in the back of all of our minds. We know it might come or it will come, but we just don't really want to think about it. Because right now, Chris Paddock, I mean, statistically, Bill, is leading the league in ERA, batting average against, and whip.
Right.
So that, to me, makes him the hardest pitcher to hit in all of the National League.
Right.
That's crazy for a rookie to be doing what he's doing.
Not only is he the hardest pitcher to hit, he's not giving up any walks. There are no runners on base. And that's a phenomenal combination. But what I really like is how he goes after hitters. I mean, he goes out there with intent, and I love that. I mean, he wants to get that guy out of there as quickly as possible, and he thinks he's better than any hitter. And so far, he's been proven right. I like the bravado. I like the swagger. I'd like to see more young guys develop that.
Well, it's kind of something that's come along, I think, a little bit with this generation. I mean, we're talking about the guys like a Tim Anderson in Chicago with the bat flip.
And right.
It's becoming a little bit more accepted. I even think Pete Alonso of the Mets, handled it very well after the game last night and said, look, you know, he said he was going to come get me, and he got me.
Right.
You know, and hopefully I'll get him next time. But tonight was his night, and these kids, they really believe in themselves, and I don't think you can stop that from happening anymore. Whereas many years ago, I think if somebody like Chris Paddock would have said, "Hey, we'll see what happens Monday night," you think Dick Williams wouldn't have had him in the office in a hurry?
I don't know because I think Dick Williams was somebody who wanted to see that.
He liked that too.
He actually liked that. But I mean, I go back to the days of Bob Gibson and
yeah.
Sandy Koufax.
I know.
Mickey Lolich. They pitched with an attitude every game, no matter what. If they were going good or going bad, they pitched with an attitude. And I like that so much in Chris Paddock.
I think that'll be the interesting thing to see if and when he does struggle a little bit, if he's able to keep that bravado, because there's going to have to be some point
sure.
he's going to give up some
sure.
runs. But right now he's been spectacular. It's been so fun. This team, the win on Sunday, Hunter Renfro's grand slam, you never know what it's all going to mean. But the fact that they got out of there with a win over the Dodgers and then the fashion with which they got it, leads me to believe that they leave this weekend or left the weekend feeling like, you know what, hey, we can compete with that team. And that was what they needed to kind of find out this weekend. And I think that the answer was fairly positive.
Well, I think they needed the win on Sunday because it sort of reinforced what had happened early on Saturday or Friday and Saturday. They learned they could compete with the Dodgers. They also learned that if you don't keep adding on, you're right. in big trouble. So I think if they had lost that game Sunday, I think that would have been a real downer. But the fact that they came back after the way they had started the first two games, I think is a big plus bonus.
Tony and I were talking a little earlier about the fact that this team in general, not just Chris Paddock, seems to kind of carry with it a bit of a bravado and a bit of an edge. And we surmised that kind of came along with Manny Machado. And
right.
I'm just curious what your thinking is on that, because it's kind of like when you go out for the evening on a Saturday night with a big group of people, and then the 6'9", 270-pound guy's with you too. You feel like you can, you know, be a little more outgoing and aggressive because you got this guy behind you. I feel like the signing of Machado has done that for these kids on this Padre team.
I don't think it was the signing of Machado as much as when Machado first got here and how he handled himself and how he sort of created a different type of environment. And I'll go back to the first road trip where he took everybody to dinner
yeah.
and everybody showed up, all the players, everybody that he invited was there. And that just showed that, okay, this guy is taking charge of everything in a way that's not boisterous, that's, you know, just solid professional, you know, watch what I do, let's just do it the right way. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they make mistakes. They're young. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to lose some games. They're going to lose a lot of games because everybody loses a lot of games.
Sure.
But I do like what I've seen, the improvement in just the attitude and the direction of where they want to be, where every player wants to take himself.
Speaking of players taking themselves, Eric Hosmer, just in the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, I think it's been a little bit kind of under the radar, but it seems like he's starting to hit and feel a little more comfortable and look a little bit like the guy they got, that they thought they got from Kansas City. And, you know, let Renfro hit all these home runs and Paddock do all this stuff, but Hosmer's your consistent guy, and if he can stay at this consistency, it's going to really be nice.
A.J. Casavell and I were just talking about Hosmer, and I think that he is finding his niche on this team.
Yeah.
I don't think last year when he was the guy, he's not really wired to be that player. He is wired to be a supplemental player and be part of a bigger thing. And I like the last 15 games where he's hit over 400 in the last 15 games. The approach has been, I'm going to take this ball to left field. I'm going to hit this ball to right center. The approach has been perfect. And he is now not trying. Well, that's a nice mix of words right there. He's no longer feeling that he has to be the guy that gets the runs home. If I don't do it, the guy behind me is going to pick it up, or, you know, they've already put guys on base. I just got to move them along. I think that this is his realm. This is where he really shines as a player in the role that he's in right now.
Bill Center shines in any role, whether he's a great writer or helping us out on the air, broadcasting with us, or working for the Padres. And it's always great having you on the show, sir.
Chris, I love it. I love doing this. So
we have a great time, and I'm
right.
So glad you come over and say hi once in a while. Thank you, Bill. Bill Center.
Thanks,
there,
Chris.
On the SDCCU fan hotline. You can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Once a week, Gwen and Chris face their toughest decisions in the world of sports.
Now you have an adult decision to make.
Would you rather starts now?
This is going to be a tough one.
On 97.3, The Fan.
All right, it's pretty simple. Will Galvez, who used to be on the softball team, and then started demanding, I guess, too much money. I don't know what happened.
What the heck, Will?
No, he doesn't even tell any. No, you know what? He doesn't even tell anybody why he doesn't play anymore. He just, all of a sudden, was too big for the game.
Should I be taking hints?
Well, I hope you don't. I mean, if you're a good player, I hope you stay on our team.
Okay. All right.
Will Galvez was a good player and did not stay on our team.
I'm going to make a comeback. Don't worry.
Are you invited?
I don't think you're going to get invited back.
You heard it here first. Will Galvez is coming back. He's getting out of retirement.
He's like 12 years old. How could he have already retired?
Well,
These kids these days, Gravy, I'm telling you.
Get off my lawn.
These kids these days, I'm telling you, the demands that they make. All right, Will, we need you back on the softball diamond. But right now we need you to ask us some would-you-rather questions.
So all right, cool.
The floor is yours.
Sweet. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, every week just some would-you-rather scenarios to really get you thinking. So the Raptors-Sixers game has tipped off already, and the Nuggets-Trailblazers game starts a little later tonight. For the next 5 years, which big man would you rather have in your starting five, Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic? Chris?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one because I was all over Joel Embiid's case earlier today on the show.
Yes, you were.
And he deserved it because he played an unbelievable Game 3 for Philadelphia. 39 points and all kinds of everything and slam dunks and highlight reel plays. And he did airplane running around the court and he was slapping high fives with the fans. And then he forgot to show up for Game 4 and scored like 10 points or 11 points, and they got beat. And that really bothered me because I think to be a superstar, you got to show up every night. And I will say this about Jokic, what I've seen watching Denver, this guy comes to play every single night. He brings it every single night. So I like Jokic better right now. But for 5 years, I would take Embiid just because the old ceiling – And the up, I think Embiid will grow up a little bit and learn that he's got to bring it every single night to be considered a superstar. And once he does that, he's going to be pretty tough to stop.
Jokic played 65 minutes that 4 OT game against Portland. That was, yeah.
I love Jokic. That's what I'm saying. I take Jokic today, but you asked me for the next 5 years.
Scravy?
I, on the other hand, am going to take Jokic for the next 5 years because I don't think Joel Embiid, like, I don't think basketball is actually his first love. He seems like he wants to be in the spotlight.
What is reggae singing? What is that?
I have no idea what his first love is, but he does a lot of stuff at social media. He does a lot of stuff to put him in the limelight, and
well,
I think
he's just
he's
a Gen X player. I mean, this is what
they
all do.
But he bothers me. And then Jokic, he does everything. I didn't realize that he averaged almost 7 assists for this whole season. He played 80 games. Joel Embiid is hurt a lot. And I just don't really think that Joel Embiid is going to be in 5 years where Jokic is. Jokic seems like he's always ready to play. He's not about the limelight. And he's averaging almost a triple-double every night.
There's a lot of things to like about Jokic, but here's what's to like better about Embiid. Mark Jackson said the other night that Joel Embiid is already one of the greatest centers ever to play the game.
What?
Yes, ooh. He said that, and then Jeff Van Gundy on the telecast said, whoa, buddy, pump the brakes, pump the brakes. He's not that good yet.
Yeah.
And Mark Jackson said, you watch.
Wow.
So I'm going with Mark Jackson on Joel Embiid. I say once he becomes more consistent, sky's the limit for this guy.
I was out on him once he wanted a date with Rihanna.
Oh,
said
my
this a
goodness.
Few times. He wanted a date with Rihanna. She finally gave
Scraby
him a date.
Like this.
And he said, no, I'm good, which really bothers me. Because if you're going to ask for a date a million times and then she's finally going to give you the date, you need to go
you
on
gotta
the date.
You got to go. All right.
Sounds like a Scraby take. But let's go to the next one. The Avs-Sharks game last night was a thriller.
You notice how the Scraby take has slowly disappeared from this show,
I miss it. I really do. I miss
you
it a
miss
lot.
It.
Yeah. When is it coming back, Scraby?
Maybe tomorrow.
All right. Start working on a few.
when I get something.
Okay.
What do you want? Paid for the Scraby
take? No, I'm saying
take?
When the Scraby take pops in my head. It can't happen every day.
Well, then nothing will ever pop in your head.
Okay, the Avs-Sharks game last night was a thriller with Colorado winning and forcing a game 7. Chris, you mentioned earlier in the show the Bucks-Celtics series is the only series in the NBA playoffs sitting at 3-1. So it made me think, as a player in the NBA, MLB, or NHL, would you rather win in a sweep or battle to win in a game 7? Chris?
Would I?
Yeah.
Like if I'm on the team?
Yep.
It seems like a trick question. I think I'd rather win in 4 straight and rest and relax for the next round. I mean, it is great. I think there is a certain thrill to being part of a classic 7-game series, and being part of Game 7, they say there's nothing quite like a Game 7, but I don't think you can go into any series saying, I'd rather go 7 than win it in 4. I mean, if you can win in 4, you take it in 4, don't you?
Yeah, I would think you would take it in 4. But just because I want to be a contrarian, I'm going to say Game 7 because I think you feel like you're on a high after you win a Game 7. You're facing elimination. Your team's going to go home. Your season could be over. So if you win a Game 7, you're going to take that momentum and you're going to build on it in the next series. But if you win a Game 4... Yeah, sure, you might have played really well, but you're just going to be sitting around for a while, and I think that you get a little rusty when guys are playing hard-fought games.
That has happened before. Yeah. One team in particular I remember it happened to was the 2007 Colorado Rockies, mm-hmm. who swept through the playoffs, won, I think, 11 straight playoff games, and sat for 9 days.
That's a lot.
Before they played the Red Sox in the World Series.
You almost have to even play a scrimmage or something.
Oh, they
something.
Got crushed.
Something.
I mean, look, the Red Sox were better than they were that year. That was the Magic Colorado October run. But still, 9 days is too long to sit. So in baseball, maybe you always do want to play another game or two. But basketball, hockey, you want your body to rest.
Agreed.
I still don't think Matt Holliday touched home plate, but
I know he didn't touch home plate. It's not even a thought. There's no thinking there. He just didn't touch home plate.
At Scraby's discretion, we can end on this one. The NBA on TNT.
No, we'll keep going.
Oh, we can keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
The NBA on TNT. Chris, you and Tony have talked about it. Those guys are hilarious. Shaq, Charles, Kenny the Jet. hilarious. So they recorded.
Very funny.
They recorded Charles Barkley on a golf course with Barkley's swing on a shot tracker, which is. It's a ribbon effect that allows the viewers on TV to see where the ball lands.
You don't need to explain that. It's been highly documented on this show that the shot tracker is the best invention in sports TV broadcasting history.
Not only has it been documented on this show, Scraby.
I wrote a blog.
Yeah, you wrecked a whole bunch of space on our website.
Wait, I didn't wreck
a blog about it one day.
There was no wrecking of it. And you know what? You know who our guy Manny? He said that he is with me. And right after he read my blog, he said, you know what? You're right, Scraby. That is the best.
He liked the ribbon thing.
Yes, but that's nor here. That we're not doing that right now.
It's not here nor there.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Well,
all right. Anyway,
well, Barkley's. It's very funny because they go all over the course. So, would you rather play a round of golf with Tiger Woods or Charles Barkley, Chris?
Me?
Yep.
Oh my God, that's the easiest question you've ever asked me. Like, would I rather have $1 million or get punched in the face?
See, I don't. I actually think. Can I answer for you?
You know I'm going to say Charles Barkley.
I knew you were going to say Charles Barkley.
Because I love Charles Barkley,
yeah, exactly.
And I don't like Tiger Woods.
What about
it would be
you,
much.
Scraby?
Oh, I'm definitely playing with Tiger Woods. He's going to give me some putting facts. He's going to tell me how to draw the ball. He's going to tell me how to hit that stinger. I'm all in on Tiger Woods.
I'm playing with Charles Barkley because I can whip him.
Yeah, you actually can.
I know.
You actually can. I would take at least 3 strokes a hole on Tiger Woods, and he would still probably beat me by 20.
I would have to be hypocritical to play with Tiger Woods now. I mean, I've been so critical of him as a person and just been such a non-fan that, you know, to walk up and shake his hand and smile and go, hey, let's go play for 6 hours. Well, for him, it'd be 4 hours. For me, it'd be 6 hours. I'll be honest with you. I would still rather play with Charles Barkley. I just think he's one of the most fun people on the entire planet.
Yeah.
So I would trade in the golf knowledge I would probably get for the fun of hanging out with Barkley.
I think I would actually kind of get annoyed with Barkley just because I would want to get my game going because, you know, I'm not great at golf or anything, but I still can hit some shots, and I'd rather hit some shots and keep it moving than wait for Charles to go find his ball in the trees.
I think anybody who's a golfer would rather play with Tiger Woods. Anybody who's me...
You're probably right.
...would rather play with Charles Barkley.
Who would you play with, Will?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I would have a lot of fun with Charles just because I'd be cracking up after every one of his swings since it goes all over the course.
Oh, I'm sure he would love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I got to go with Tiger. He's on my Mount Rushmore of golfers of all time, so I think I'd go Tiger.
Well, I would hope he was.
He's on everybody's Mount Rushmore. There's no argument about that.
Let's do
it. By the way, Will, while you're sitting there, can you just tell Thomas Andrews that Mitchie Forbax just hit a home run?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in the middle of tweeting it out now.
He just told me right now.
That is the worst nickname in baseball history, Mitch Moreland for the Boston Red Sox. And every time he hits a home run,
it's annoying.
Thomas runs around the studio going, Mitchie Forbax just hit a home run. Mitchie Forbax just hit a home run.
He also says, the ice horse. The ice horse.
Oh, my God.
Who is the ice horse?
Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the Milwaukee Bucks right now, the city of Boston could be closing in on a 4-sport sweep.
Yep.
That is
right?
Crazy.
I mean, they got the Patriots already are the Super Bowl champs. The Red Sox are the World Series champs. The Boston Bruins in hockey are now in the Final Four, right? And the Celtics are the only one that could be eliminated. Just for that reason alone, I hope the Bucks beat the Celtics.
Good job, Kyrie.
We can't let the Celtics – we can't let Boston have all 4 championships at once.
No, that would be horrible.
Oh, my gosh, would that be horrible. Horrible.
You have any more, Will?
I do. I have one more. Let's end on this one. The Dallas Cowboys are in talks of a contract extension with quarterback Dak Prescott. Dak was drafted the same year as Ezekiel Elliott in 2016, and Amari Cooper was drafted the year before. Assuming the Cowboys follow through with the extension and can only keep 2 out of the 3 players above, if you were Jerry Jones, would you rather re-sign Zeke or Amari Cooper? Chris?
Ooh. That's a good one.
Oh, I don't think that's a good. I mean, it's a good question. I always give you credit for your questions, but I think it's an easy answer. Zeke by a mile. Amari Cooper's a really nice player, but I honestly think that breakout wide receivers are a bit of a dime a dozen in the NFL. There's just a lot of them that are really good. There's only a couple of Ezekiel Elliotts. So that's why I would have to go with Elliott in that one.
I would agree. A good running back will be a good wide receiver every day.
Could you see them just overusing him too much, though? to the point to where they can get everything they needed and eventually move on to a younger player.
I think the biggest problem with this thing is that you didn't put Dak as part of that, because I think Dak, I don't know that he's as good as everybody says he is.
I just know that we talk about the Dallas Cowboys way too much, because the Dallas Cowboys haven't won a thing
since 1995.
It's been like 25 years since they've won anything, and yet we still talk about them like everybody cares about the Dallas Cowboys, and we just don't.
Are they still America's team? Or is the Patriots America's team? No, definitely not the Patriots being America's team.
A lot of people don't like the Patriots. I don't know that, you know, I think the Cowboys will probably just stick with the moniker of America's team, but I don't think we care about them anywhere as near as much as we used to.
Good stuff.
We talk about them all the time.
Good stuff, Will.
All right, good job, Will.
All right, thank you.
That's a wrap for Would You Rather on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.